Survivor's back, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist, a new co-host, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
Hi!
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
New Yorker and author of the bestseller Trick Mirror: Reflections on Self-Delusion. She's here to talk about social media companies monetizing hate and how we can use the internet as a force for good. Please welcome Gia Tolentino. So you've written about social media companies and how they monetize rage. Is there any way that they could be incentivized to stop this?
One way that I think about it is, like, did corporations all throughout the last century until the 70s have any incentive to stop, like, poisoning rivers and dumping their waste all over the place? They didn't. It's, like, cheaper to be shitty, right? Like, they, like, it is in their financial best interest to just keep poisoning the river until someone makes them stop, which we could. But, like, you know, it's in their best interest for us to feel bad, right? Like, you never hear someone being like, I had an amazing day. I just sat and I scrolled for 6 hours, right? Like, it's like, you only scroll that long when you feel bad. And when you do that, when you scroll for that long, you feel even worse. And then you do it more. And that cycle is the primary way.
It's like cocaine.
It is like cocaine.
Except
less fun.
Right. If I was chasing that first one, it's just not going to come back to
you. Yeah, exactly.
But it's interesting because I see stories pop up that give me outrage.
Right.
And I realize that they're designed to do it. Like, it took me a second. A friend of mine who leans a little right texted me this story about how the LGBT community wants to ban natural woman. You know, you make me feel like I'm a natural woman, right, by Aretha Franklin. And I did, like, two clicks of research, and of course it was from a parody account.
Right.
But picked up from papers, and then the parody account even said afterwards, like, nobody called us for a comment.
Right. Right.
And then on
no one checked the about page on the website.
Yeah. And then on the left, you know, I read an article about the Missouri Senate making women senators, they couldn't wear sleeveless shirts. And I was about to go ape shit. And then I went, oh, but the men have to wear ties and suits. It's just a dress code. But it was designed to make me go bananas, and it did.
Right. I mean, everything, like, if you are on a social media platform that what you see is governed by an algorithm, which is basically all the major ones, it's all designed to make you feel like the best person possible and that everyone else is a dumb piece of shit. Like, that's... That is what gets us to spend as much time on there as possible.
Yeah, I used to call that righteousness porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you realize you don't actually want to see these male lawmakers wearing tank tops anyway. You don't want to see any, maybe we don't want to see anyone's upper arms, you know?
I just want to be able to say, point to someone as wrong and me as right.
Right.
And then you get off on it.
And it's also like there's so many things to actually be mad about, and a lot of the stuff that's, you know, it's like some celebrity said something dumb. It's like, do we care? Does this matter? Does, like, I think one of the things that drives me personally nuts about all of it is that there's no sense of scale. It's like everything is presented as equally and maximally enraging when actually there are some things that matter a lot. Most things matter very little or nothing at all. And we're taught that, you know, we should all be as mad as possible about all of it all the time, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you went off Twitter a few years ago. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I thought it would turn me into, like, a genius and, like, a great, happy person, and it, you know, just, I'm wasting just a little less time.
Right, right. Yeah. But, I mean, like, I definitely, like, I'm kind of exit only on there now, and is that right? I just, like, will post stuff I need to post for show dates or something. But that has made my life definitely a little bit. You realize that Twitter is not the world.
Right, right. And I mean, I got off because, like, I don't know if you had this experience, but it was, like, as soon as the pandemic started, you know, and my life shrank to, you know, one room and a weekly trip to the grocery store, and the internet ballooned to fill the rest of my existence. And I was like, this sucks, you know? Like, the internet is never supposed to be bigger than your life. And when the pandemic made it bigger than actual physical life, I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Twitter is such a cesspool now. It's so negative. Is there any way to unravel this?
Well, I think that as long as these companies, the primary way they make their money is for us to spend as much time as possible on them, and the best way, as you were saying in that segment, for them to ensure that we spend as much time on them as possible is through all of the emotions that make us feel as bad as possible, self-righteousness and anger and, you know, everyone getting as mad as possible as a group about something you're going to forget about the next day. As long as that is the economic model, there is no hope. But I think, you know, again, as with the corporations that were, you know, making all the fish die in the rivers, you can make them change. We could regulate this.
Right. If we put pressure on our government or...
Yeah, I mean, well, I think...
our government like, is like...
How does...
Also nursing at the teat of, 100%. Like, big tech. You know,
100%. So. I think one thing that's necessary is for people to remember that we can, you know, we don't have to feel like, yeah, like, the internet... We all feel insane on the internet. We all feel so bad all the time. And that's just the way it is, right? I think that we are capable of getting as mad about this as people did about in the environmental movement in the 70s, right? Like we are capable of generating pressure and putting it on lawmakers. And there, you know, there are things like you could end automated recommendations, right? Automated recommendations are the reasons that, you know, a mom of two in Cleveland, you know, starts looking up smoothie recipes for her two-year-old and ends up believing that Wayfair is shipping, you know, like, orphans in their things. And, you know,
designed to radicalize.
Exactly, right. And so much of that is automated recommendations because that... And people have been recommending for years for that, you know, simply ending those. Those are one of the biggest reasons that the internet has gotten so much worse, so much less fun, so much less surprising, is because these companies just identify the kind of person you are and then funnel you towards, you know, whatever the worst version of that person is.
YouTube is bizarre. You know, one time I made the mistake of going like, what is this globalists? What do they mean by globalists?
Yeah.
And I became an anti-Semite within like 15 minutes.
It's amazing how well it works. You know, there are things like, you know, you could end legal immunity for these companies if violence is caused by something that was generated on these platforms. The worse that actual offline life is, the more people spend on the internet, right? And we just have really done very little in terms of public policy to make actual life better for people, right? To give people more money and more freedom and to give people free public spaces to hang out so it's not like the only place they hang out is the internet. You know, we've done so little to improve actual life that it, I think, is one of the things that drives people over and over to just be like,
yeah,
you know, like for hours at a time. And I mean, I feel like a boomer saying that, but I feel like that would help a lot.
Well, yeah. Also, it's like, I feel like social media originally was designed or its intention was to connect, right? To connect people. But instead, I think it's kind of put us in silos and it's given us this existential, like, do I exist? You know, I mean, even on selfies, I feel like are just a constant question of, do I exist? I exist, right?
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting, but there's anger, you know, people make money from our anger. They get clicks from anger. But there's some good anger on the internet where people are organizing.
Right.
You know, so how do you differentiate, but how do you keep the good anger and get us away from the shitty anger?
Well, what you were saying about connection, it's like the version of connection that is generated through hate is not a kind of connection that makes sense in real life. It's only a kind of connection that is incentivized and sounds good on the internet, right? Like in real life, are we actually like, oh, I want to spend 6 hours like face deep in, you know, in the business of someone I hate? No, right? Like we do our business based on like affinity and the things that we care about and the things that we like positively want. And I think about, you know, as much as I think the internet as it's structured right now is kind of inevitably an existential and civic that negative, that there are still these things. I mean, you think about the protests, summer 2020, they wouldn't have turned into what they became, right? With like a quarter of Americans, you know, hitting the streets at some point, if it wasn't for like a continual stream of videos on Twitter of police brutalizing the protesters at the police brutality protests, right? Like these, there is still like radical potential. You think about what people are doing with abortion access right now on the internet, you know, forming these underground networks and getting people to travel across state lines and making sure anyone can get pills who needs them. You know, I try to remember that, you know, we still can and will try to be human on, you know, within a mechanism that wants us to be less so. Yeah. And we can keep doing it.
Well, it's like the Wild West, but the leaders are billionaires. And I mean, everything, I feel like every single thing, every conversation I've had here, I feel like boils down to Citizens United, because as long as people can line politicians' pockets, they're buying policy, and our votes don't, I mean, your vote counts,
and you definitely vote. And our votes just simply don't count.
Yeah, exactly. But it's very frustrating. It's clearly not right. Like, you know, but of course they name it Citizens United. It sounds beautiful. Let's hold for the siren. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to show that I'm in show business and I know how things work.
Well, yeah, and I think part of it, I mean, we see this pushback now, right? Like, there is a fomenting sort of pushback and a dissatisfaction. And, you know, the hope is that it bubbles over into actual pressure on lawmakers to do something. But, you know, for a long time, we accepted the general model of Silicon Valley, the move fast, break things, sort of move faster than regulation could ever get you. We accepted that as like, oh, that's amazing. We could, you know, that'll result in us pressing a button and getting, like, you know, a car at our doorstep and, you know, and any kind of food we want. Like, we for a really long time accepted the conveniences that the internet economy provides us.
We're such little sluts for convenience.
And then they just snap those little handcuffs of anger around us, and here we are.
Yeah, you go like, iPhones are made by child labor. I'm gonna,
order,
you know, let's see.
Click to order.
Like Amazon, you know. Yeah. I'm gonna, you know, I was like, no one's boycotting Amazon. It's too convenient.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can. And I think that, the real first step in all of this is remembering, like, it's very Orwellian. I have a program called Self-Control on my computer and a program called Freedom on my phone. And those things, because I have neither, and both of those things lock me off of social media for like 15 hours a day. And I have needed to do that because I'm such a little slut for all the things that makes me mad. And it does work. Like, you can just refuse to participate in little bits until maybe suddenly your life has changed a little. And I would recommend, you know, it's worth a try.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, they say, like, of course nobody can sleep because you're on your phones. You've got to turn the screens off. And I'm like, yeah, but also no.
But I prefer to drop my phone on my forehead.
That's exactly what I do.
Seven times a night.
This is when I go to sleep. Oh,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. How do we fix the internet? is there any hope in all of this?
Yeah. I think in regulation, and I think in public pushback, and I think in all of us spending less time on our phone, whether that means refusing convenience, you know, certain things that are convenience. I think all of these things are possible, but we have to maybe accept that in order to resist social media, in order to resist the constant surveillance that's hitting us on our phone, that all these companies are like tracking and reselling to other companies to make money off of everything we do, we have to maybe refuse a little bit of the cheap pleasure and the convenience that the phone gives us. But I think we can.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
All benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like me, your life is both owned and ruined by technology. So I went to talk to someone about how to break free from it all.
Even though I've made a career of standing in front of screens and flailing my arms, I have a secret to tell all of you. I hate technology. Every new gizmo and gadget claims to be highly useful and easy to use. But if that were true, then why are we so frustrated by technology all the goddamn time? I decided to sit down with Marques Brownlee, aka MKBHD, who's been heralded as the greatest tech reviewer on planet Earth, bringing us endless videos of the newest high-tech piece of shit. But could he convince me to join his technomania cult?
Marques, you are like the Kim Kardashian of technology. What you say moves product, and you do have a lot of junk in your trunk to review.
Has that been said? Or are you just...
That's the metaphor. I'm proposing that.
I like that.
You have dedicated your life to reviewing technology. Why?
There's a quote you've probably heard. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. If you have a certain expectation and the tech actually gives you that output you expect, like that working, I love that.
And when it doesn't work, what does it feel like?
Incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, to me it feels like an abomination to society.
It's rough.
Yeah. Here's my problem. My brain is melting right now because I have to juggle 100 apps just to communicate with 8 people. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, there were 3 ways to get a hold of me.
Okay.
Call me if you're confident. Text me if you're shy. Email me if you're smart. Now, it's 100 apps. iMessage, Friends, Android, annoying friends, Signal, pretentious college friends, WhatsApp, annoying family members, Instagram DMs, horny randos, Twitter DMs, angry political randos, Evite, psychos, paperless posts, liberal psychos. That's just messaging, Marques.
Yeah, so you do have the option to not try any of the things you don't want.
Until I go to a restaurant, you go, hey, can I get a menu?
Yeah.
And they go, oh yeah, just scan the QR code. And I go, no, I went to this restaurant to avoid being on my phone. And then they're like, oh, you have to also pay through your phone. In order to do that, you have to create a username and password.
Oh, okay, so.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just made this, I'll have the tuna melt, 6 steps harder.
There's a Goldilocks zone of like going a little bit into tech and seeing real benefit before going too far. But we gotta try a whole bunch of bad ideas before we find one or two cool things Hassan might like.
Marques wanted to prove to me that tech could be useful and user-friendly by doing what he's known for, a product demo. Secretly, I suspected it would turn into an episode of This Shit Doesn't Work. These new tech-enhanced products were a smart toothbrush, smart hover shoes, and a smart printer. And of course, all of these were supposed to be as easy as 1, 2, 3.
All right. Let's see.
Lean slightly forward to move forward, slightly backward to go backwards, and step off to get off.
Okay.
Smart toothbrush. It's got a ton of sensors, and it might be able to shed some light on something you can do better.
All right. Let's see how easy it is.
Sure.
Look at that. A sticker reminding you how easy it is. Just going to plug it in right here?
Yep.
Right? All right. This is it?
Yeah.
All right. Back to the future.
I can't believe there's no straps.
Okay. It says twist me.
Yeah.
Where do you open it?
Somewhere around, there we go, okay. There's a tab.
You know, because the sticker says effortless.
Still there?
Wait. Why is it going to, why is it possessed? Shit.
Now connect this to your app, okay. Right?
Right.
App Store app?
The problem is I just don't want my dentist to have even more info about me. Because I haven't been brushing the full happy birthday.
Oh, sorry, it says, do not turn the power off until the initialization is complete. This takes about 6 minutes.
So you're just gonna sit here for 6 minutes. Where do I apply? So if I apply, then.
Yeah. So we have to make an account. We do have to type a Wi-Fi password. There's your keyboard. So you gotta type. By the way, there's capitals.
Marques! I have to switch between uppercase and lowercase.
And then down.
You know relationships end because of stuff like that one.
Oh, I'll set up my own account.
You're gonna use your full government name?
Yeah, I'm gonna do exactly what it asked me to. I cook by the book, man.
Idiot.
I give it a password. And then you just straighten your feet. How do you feel?
I feel like a baby giraffe. Oh, I have to connect with Wi-Fi as well.
Yeah, you want a password again?
Yeah, can you send it to me?
Unable to register user. Please try.
This is what I'm saying! Try again. What does it say now?
Doesn't work.
You know what, man? How do I get off? It's not your thing, it's my thing, bro.
Oh, you don't have
to. Please try it one more time. Third time.
It doesn't work. Login failed.
Login failed! And where?
What is the print?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have our final product, shall we?
I mean...
This shit doesn't work! It doesn't work!
work!
It didn't work.
I felt like I had just proved to Marquez that his entire life was a lie. But he had a slightly different perspective.
The goal of tech is really to just work every time and be as easy as possible.
Yeah.
So I would just say to have patience with the things that don't work yet, because maybe they will soon.
But printers are just a lot.
Printers are doomed.
So maybe the way to fix shitty modern technology is by becoming more patient and understanding users.
Ah! Ah! Why can't you work?
Ah! Here's an app. Open can.
Close, you can. Close.
This shit doesn't work!
Thank you, Marquez.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Brave and the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Brave and the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.